Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And good morning to you, Russell Friedman.
Good morning, LaVon. How are you?
I'm good. It's sunny but cold. How is it in California?
It's a gray but chilly for us. I don't want to tell you the numbers because sometimes those comparisons don't work out well.
That's true, but I'll take sunshine. It's great. But we want to talk, Russell, I want you first to tell us a bit about the Grief Recovery Institute.
Founded 37 years ago by John W. James, and interestingly enough, although it appeared at first to be about death and then later about divorce and other losses, the foundation loss in John's young life when he was a little boy in Danville, Illinois, was when he was 7 years old and his beloved dog Peggy died. And in response to the death of his pet, which devastated him, his parents said, "Don't feel bad, comma, on Saturday we'll get you a new dog." But John was seven and his heart was broken. He did feel bad. So the instruction from his own parents not to feel bad didn't make sense. It confused him. And then they said, on Saturday, we'll get you a new dog. But John was seven. He didn't want a new dog. What he wanted, as you can imagine, he wanted Peggy back, the dog that died. And when the parents actually did take him out and get a new dog, but if you ever meet John, ask him what the name of the second dog was. And he can't tell you because he could not attach to that dog. He gave that dog to his younger brother. And really, it starts the odyssey, and this is like 60-some-odd years ago in Danville, Illinois, that this book we're talking about today, the Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss, had its birth in John being misguided by his own parents who loved him. Now, LaVon, this isn't an attack on his parents or yours or mine or society or culture. It's an attack on the misinformation we all get. Why, in the name of anything holy, if you feel bad, would someone tell you to not feel bad? Imagine if something wonderful had happened in your life. Would people say, don't feel good? I mean, it sounds stupid. And yet, as children, we're told when something sad happens, not to feel that way. And it puts us in total conflict with our nature. So everything about the Grief Recovery Institute is to re-educate people as to what is truthful, what is natural, and what is helpful in dealing with loss, and loss is inevitable.
Yes, and of course, John went through some other really big losses in his life, as everybody does for one reason or another. You mentioned, you know, it's not just loss from death, but there are lots of other losses in our lives. And also that I'm thinking about the stages of grief here and some of those responses, whatever the loss, and today we're going to get into more about pet loss, but whatever the loss, you know, I think that same kind of things we say is, you know, replace the loss, although in this case it was a pet. Grieve alone. Isn't that something that we're told that, you know, whatever the loss, just grieve alone, you know, don't share that with other people.
You bet. In fact, there are six myths. We don't believe in stages, but there are six myths that have affected all of us, not only here in America, but around the world. I travel around the world teaching this, and every country I go to, no matter what their original language or culture, they all are subject to these horrible limiting myths. The myth of grieve alone is one that I can explain, and everybody listening will know. I'm going to say a sentence, and I'll leave out the last word, and if you want to put it in, you can. And the phrase is, laugh and the whole world laughs with you, cry and you cry
alone.
Thank you. We were all brainwashed to believe something that isn't true. The truth is, if you get good news, LaVon, the first thing you want to do is tell someone. And another truth is, if you get bad news, the very first thing you want to do is tell someone, you know, someone you trust in both cases, someone you know, someone you're comfortable with. But our natural instinct is to communicate our sadness. Now, I am sitting in my home in Studio City, California, and my little granddaughter, who is 14 months old, and the absolute apple of my eye and peach and whole fruit salad of my eye, is a room away. And when she is happy, it comes out a body laugh that will just shakes you happily to your foundation. And when she is sad, it is equally loud and heart-wrenching. And she does happy or sad equally because no one has told her it's not okay to be sad. So she gets to have the entirety of her emotion. And one of the reasons this is so important is that when our pets die, we are many of us shaken to our emotional core. The kind of interdependent relationships we have with a pet and the kind of unconditional relationships with them, and the fact that we have to be their caretakers, they're not living out in the wild, and we're responsible for their well-being, it means when they die, we have an amount of emotion that's almost incalculable. People call me inconsolable. And one of the hardest parts for them is the isolation caused by others who say to them things like, don't feel bad, it was only a dog. Mm-hmm. Now, or a cat or a horse. Now, how minimizing can you be to say it was only, when that pet will have represented your heart, your soul, your life, your goodness, your ability to be human? And on the first page of the book, where we start with it, don't feel bad, it was only, dot, 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 later on that page, LaVon, it says something really kind of cryptic. It says, imagine if your mother died and someone came up to you and said, don't feel bad, it was only a woman. I mean, you'd get positively homicidal. What? I mean, what an abusive thing to say. And grieving pet owners not only feel isolated, but they feel abused by that kind of comment, although it's loving and well-intended, that is not helpful to them and then makes them isolated, makes them not want to be around people. At the same time, they feel totally, totally paralyzed in a world where they cannot speak their truth.
And Russell,
they imagine what it would be like to walk around and not be able to say how you feel, because you'd be afraid people were going to judge you for it.
And Russell, I think there are people who do not have pets, have never had pets, and so it's really difficult for them to understand why you would be so connected with a pet. I mean, again, they're thinking it's only an animal because that's all they've ever experienced. And so, you know, it is very difficult for people to understand that sometimes. Not for the people who have pets. I remember not too long ago, my sister called me and she was sobbing. And I thought, oh my goodness, what's happened? Well, what happened was she had to take her dog in to have it put down. And she was, thank goodness she called me, but she was just sobbing. It could hardly talk. I mean,
I understand that a lot of people who don't have that connection don't get it, but I think I can make it clear to them so they can be better friends and family members to grieving pet owners. A pet is with you 24/7 for its whole life. Your children, while they are 24/7 in the beginning, grow up and grow away from you. Even, you know, when they go off for their first day of school, you've had a little grief event. And then they become more and more independent. So by the time they leave high school or college, they're out on their own. Whereas the pet is dependent on you 24/7 for food, for shelter, and so on. And it creates a different kind of bond. And there's another issue. Your pet never said you're fat, ugly, or stupid. Your pet never judged you. It never criticized you. And that's part of that unconditional bond that gives us such heartbreak when the pet dies, that safe place where, look, I have a dog, he's with me all the time. I tell him everything. I do tell him things I won't tell my wife. Not because I don't trust my wife, it's just that she's not going to listen to everything I say. The dog listens, thinks I'm really cute, and then says, maybe we could have lunch now. I mean, he thinks the food is the answer to all questions.
Sure.
But
before we do that, I want to just be sure that we get in here that the title of the book is The Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss. And how can people get that, Russell?
Yes, our website, www.griefrecoverymethod.com. However, it's a fully published book that can be gotten at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. And we have donated thousands of copies of this book already to libraries because we don't ever want anyone, LaVon, to not get the book because of money. We want them to get the information that's in it to help their hearts and to help them be better friends and family to people with broken hearts.
And you do have other books, just the Grief Recovery Handbook, When Children Grieve. There are other books that are related to the Grief Recovery Institute that kind of just relates to lots of reasons why people might have grief. So you've been in this, I'm going to say, business of helping people for a lot of years, and you're sharing so much experience. So
thank you.
You bet. We want to thank you very much, Russell Friedman, for visiting with us this morning. And as Russell said, remember that you can tell your pet anything and you won't be judged.